You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It is just that, Carlin. Did I stutter? 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Later in the show, why I continue to feel worse and worse about my Giants selection to win the NFC East. Later in the show, Zach Wilson and what a successful first year looks like. Later in the show, Gerrit Cole and what the immediate meaning is of his current injury situation, and very shortly, Gleyber Torres. But we begin with the captain.
And the 3-2 pitch. Swung on a drill to right field. Going back, Sanders. On the track. At the wall. See ya! See ya! See ya! A home run by Derek Jeter. He pumps his fist in the air as he rounded first. He'll hit on third base. He high-fives Willie Randolph. And the entire Yankee team mobs him at home plate.
Neat deals. Base hits to right field. Here comes Richardson. Here's the throw from Markakis. Richardson is safe. Derek Jeter ends his final game with a walk-off single. Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality. Did you have any doubt?
That is one of the great calls there is on that final hit of Derek Jeter's career. And of course, it was appropriate to be in walk-off fashion in the clutch in the Bronx. So he gave his speech today, and for those who don't know, I have always admired Derek Jeter, the player, but I've always had more of an issue with Derek Jeter, the public persona. And to no end, I can appreciate the fact that he always kept to himself. He wasn't about being out on the scene, or however he was, as he was out, he was able to protect himself. He was able to somehow stay out of Page Six and constantly be the center of attention. He was doing his social life the right way. That's fine. Also, though, with the fans, there never felt like there was a great connection to me on a personal level. Now, don't get me wrong. Derek Jeter is everybody's hero in this town. I understand that completely. Everything that he meant to the New York Yankees from the day he arrived in the big leagues up until the day he left the big leagues in Boston. This is what he was always about with the fans. Greatness, a level of humility, and someone who was clutch. And when you are those three things with the fans, you cannot lose. I'm going to take you back to 2014. I was doing the show called Loudmouse on SNY with Adam Schein. And Derek Jeter was on the farewell tour all season long. And one morning, I saw a commercial come out for Gatorade. And in this commercial, Jeter is taking a car service to Yankee Stadium, and he tells the driver, you know what? Stop. I'm going to walk the rest of the way. Okay. He gets out. He walks through the Bronx. He stops into Stans. He's signing an autograph at Stans. He's behind the bar. The place is mobbed. They can't believe Derek Jeter's actually there. And the owner of Stans, I believe it was, or one of the bartenders, says to him, we've been waiting for you for the last 15, 20 years to come in. And Jeter responded with, "You never invited me." And it just, it got to me. It annoyed me to no end. It annoyed me to no end. Why did that potential, or why did that particular moment annoy me? Because as much as Jeter was as great as he was on the field, he never lets you in off the field. And all of a sudden, we are pretending that he is letting you in and making you feel part of his life because he's getting paid at that point by Gatorade. I mean, the second he left Scans, he could not take a shower fast enough because he could not believe he was among that many people in this small dive bar next to the stadium. No question. And so, from a public persona perspective, you'll remember that I caught some heat in using the word fraud in talking about Derek Jeter. Because when you do a commercial like that, which it really is a complete opposite of what your entire career has been about, I can't take it. I can't take it. I admit that it's something with me that particular commercial really set me off. It's just that I always felt like, unless it involves Steiner Sports and a good-looking payday, Derek Jeter could not have ever been bothered with the fans. Outside of talking to whoever the celebrity fan was when he was on deck. It wasn't like he was out there every day signing autographs all the time. It wasn't like any of that. And so it set me off that in this particular moment, now we're making money off the fact that we're acting in a rather fraudulent way. Okay. I got destroyed for it, understandably so. He is New York's favorite son. It's no problem. It's not changing my opinion. But I was hopeful of something today. I was hopeful that Derek Jeter, in his Hall of Fame speech, was going to let us in just a little bit. Just a little bit. Take a listen to some of his Hall of Fame speech from today.
Special front office members, managers, coaches, trainers, sports staff with the Yankees, Gene Michael, Bob Watson, Brian Cashman, Bill Livesey, Mitch Lukowicz, Mark Newman, Don Zimmer, Willie Randolph. Will, I see you. Reggie Jackson. Reg, look, we were just talking about this morning. But every time Reggie would come spend time with the team, I'd call him over to my locker and I'd say, "Hey, Reg, sit down. What you got for me today?" And then we'd go back and forth and I'd get on him. Reg, you remember your response? Your response was, "You're not a Hall of Famer yet." So I guess I can get on you now, huh? Which brings me to the Yankee fans. You know, there was only one thing in my life I wanted to be, and that was a shortstop for the New York Yankees. And now I'm a Yankee forever. And without question, you know, you helped me get here today as much as any individual I've mentioned. You know, you can't be fooled. You know, you're passionate, you're loyal, knowledgeable, vocal, challenging, and supporting. There's a huge responsibility that comes with wearing a Yankee uniform. You know, just because you have it on doesn't guarantee you anything. You know, you have to earn it. You know, you demanded I earned it. Every single day, whether it's during the season or in the offseason, I felt as though I was representing you and I was representing all of New York. I did that in the best possible way I knew how. And I wanted to prove to you I belong, and you kept pushing me to prove it over and over again. I was always most comfortable on the field, especially at Yankee Stadium, playing in front of you. And I wanted you to be able to count on me. And to this day, especially right now in this moment, I still represent you. And it's been one of the greatest honors of my life. I'm on the stage as a result of many others. I'm on the stage as a result of the support and love of countless people. For me, you know, the love of the game and the success I had playing it starts and ends with family. You know, I was first introduced to competition in the game of baseball by my dad. You know, I vividly remember going to watch him play shortstop for his corporate softball team. And I don't think I ever told him this, but I was amazed at how good he was. and how he stood out in front of everyone else, above everyone else. He was my first idol, you know, wanting and watching and wanting to be my dad. You know, him sitting me down afterwards and educating me, you know, about the history of the game, how to play, and more importantly, how to win. And then afterwards, you know, he'd pull out and show me, you know, his scrapbook from college to prove to me he knew what he was talking about. Now, there's a lot of people listening, so I'm not going to divulge how many pages you had in your scrapbook here today, man. But my teammates, my brothers, and I was blessed to play alongside some of the best to ever play the game. You know, some who are in the Hall of Fame, some behind me right now. I especially want to point out Gerald Williams, Jorge Posada, Mariano, Andy, Bernie, Tino, CeCe, Hideki. I mean, you guys in particular were special to me because I never had to worry about what your number one priority was, and that was winning. Thank you to the baseball writers, all but one of you, who voted for me. And everyone who covered me during my career, you know, the beat writers, the columnists, TV and radio.
It was a list of thank yous for 16 minutes. It was at no point a speech that let you in. I just wanted to be let in once. And I'm not the Yankee fan. I'm not the guy he's talking to, okay? But just once, give me something. Give me that special moment on the field. Give me what's going on behind the scenes in 2001. 20 years to 9/11, what that World Series was against the Diamondbacks. The walk-off home run we played a few minutes ago. The flip play. Give me something. Behind the scenes, set it up for us. Give the fans something. And he gave them his usual thank you. Like, it could not have been a speech that was written with more cliches if he tried. And I get it. Call me a hater. Call me a loser. Call me whatever you want. This is my feeling for you. You have spent the last 25 years rooting for that guy and 20 years as a player. Rooting for that guy. Loving that guy. Buying your Jeter jerseys. Talking about him in the all-time lore of the game. Just once. I would have liked to have been let in back behind the scenes. And today, it was, I'm sorry, the Reggie story doesn't really do much for you. Take me inside some of those incredible moments. Take me inside conversations with teammates. Give me something just for all the thanks that you gave to the fans right there and the joy that you gave them as a player. And as much as you talk about, like, all of what, you know, I gave you, you gave me so much more. Just tell them something they don't know. Show them some sort of personal side of Derek Jeter that they have never seen before. Why is it that hard? Why? It is the last time, if you wanted to, you would ever have to speak publicly. And it is a day to celebrate everything that you were as a player. And that opportunity is just there to give a fan one little peek into who Derek Jeter is. And you can't do it. Same reason I respected him as a player off the field because of all that. You just wanted to get some sort of insight later in his career, maybe on the entire farewell tour, something, but you really got nothing, and today was no different. Gave you plenty of thrills on the field, and I know you'll always be grateful for that. And you might sit here and say, what do you want from the guy? Just a minute or two. about what it was like. What it was like to be you in one of those big moments. For people that will never understand or never have the opportunity to be you in one of those moments. That's the true thanks. That's the true time that you could share with them that nobody else could. I don't want to know about your off-the-field escapades or relationships. I just want to hear a great story or two. And you couldn't give them that. I'm never going to take away from what Derek Jeter is. Never. I just think the persona could have had the door cracked on it just a little bit. Especially when in the last year of your playing, you cashed in on something that wasn't real. Yes, that annoys me to this day. Hammer away. Do your best. That's great. This has nothing to do with him as a player. This just has to do with the people that made that trip to Cooperstown to see this, and all they got to hear was you thank 500 people. I get it. It's never been you. Okay. Just once. Just once.
It's Carlin.
I don't need you taking me back into pain.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Guess we going down. Guess who's going to jail. Guess who's going to jail tonight. Guess who's going to jail tonight. Guess who's going to jail
tonight. 800-919-3776. Go ahead, tee off. I'm the fat hater. Do what you have to do. I understand. I understand, but it just annoyed me to no end. All I wanted was one moment. Now, I'm not even one of you when it comes to being a fan. I'm not. I just wanted one moment. One little peek behind the scenes. Just one. And I got nothing out of it. This portion of Carlin on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by a PGA Tour Superstore. Shop with the pros at your local New York and New Jersey area PGA Superstores and save $20 off your purchase of $100 or more by mentioning 98.7 ESPN at checkout. Exclusions apply. See website for exclusion details. All right, let's do it. Do your best. You can also chime in on Twitter, because it's what we do too, at Chris Carlin, Instagram, that guy Carlin. By the way, we've got a little giveaway going on this week on Instagram, that guy Carlin. We are giving away an autographed Lawrence Taylor mini helmet, authentic, comes with the hologram certificate of authenticity, and it is for following me on Instagram. We'll give it away later in the week, and if you do, you tag two other people, get them to do it. Everybody is involved. So let's make it happen, Captain. Go there and do it. That guy Carlin on Instagram. 800-919-3776. Eric in Westchester, do your best. Go ahead.
Ah, my brother, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good, Eric. How are you?
I'm a little disappointed because, you know, I went out and got my official Derek Jeter jersey on today. Mm-hmm. And the way you're doing the captain is really flagrant. He never let us in, which is what New Yorkers do. We never let you in, you know.
No. Don't play it like it's a New York thing. He didn't want to let anybody in.
I mean, did Jordan let anyone in with his Hall of Fame speech?
Well, Jordan's Hall of Fame speech was basically like, blank you, you're cool, blank you.
Yeah.
Jordan's Hall of Fame speech was basically breaking out the Tommy gun and taking it to everybody who ever doubted him ever.
But.
And Jordan, by the way, allowed the whole thing to happen with the Last Dance. So he did let us in.
Did he really?
Eventually.
Did he really?
Yeah, to a degree.
But now back to Jeter. Jeter was, he's one of those guys that you see, hey, you give a head nod. He's not that way because you know how New York is fickle. You can't be all soft and moist. New York won't let that happen.
No, especially that's in the not Bronx. What we're talking about. Let me just ask you one question. Eric, one question. As you think back, and this guy never let you in, would you have liked to have heard in his Hall of Fame speech just once about one of those incredible moments, about one, even if it wasn't an incredible moment in his career, just the greatest moments in his career that he enjoyed behind the scenes, just let you behind the scenes once to see what that was like for Derek Jeter, somebody that none of us will ever get a moment to experience. Wouldn't that have been nice?
A cheetah never changes his stripes. I respect him. He never did it in his whole career. Why would I expect him to do it now? He kept it 100 the whole way through. That's Jeter. Emotionless statements, you know, never told you too much, never told you enough. That's what I got to know. I've watched this guy grow since I've been, and it sucks because it's like, that's my whole childhood gone, you know, and I'm still young. So, but that's Jeter. That's what they say.
Listen,
vegetarian
swing. I would never, ever, ever, and thanks for the call, try to take one thing away from Derek Jeter as a player. And frankly, anybody, you know, that whole notion of they can never take it away from us. Who the hell's trying to take anything away from me? Honestly, who? Nobody. Nobody is. I just make this observation. On what was a day to celebrate everything about you, and in your thank you to the fans and about everything they gave you, just a story or two, nothing scandalous, just a story or two. It doesn't have to be a list of all the people to thank. I don't need 2 minutes on your agent. You know, I just want to get a feeling of what it was like to be Derek Jeter, one of the all-time great players. And you can't even give me that. I don't think it's too much to ask for in a Hall of Fame speech. William Hronis just checked in on Twitter. Consistency counts. Yeah, good call. You know, I mean, Lion Care 25, the George Bush first pitch 9/11 story. Yeah, would have been cool. Just from his perspective, there was one thing in there. One thing in there that I would point out that gave you Derek Jeter and his personality in one sentence, and why he was the way he was. We'll tell you what that is next.
It's Carlin.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I get drunk, wake up, I'm wasted still. I just don't see where it's too much to ask to actually get a little bit of a taste of what it was like to be Derek Jeter. But there was one sentence earlier in when we were playing you parts of his speech that really tell you a little bit about him. And maybe this is true as a person. But he did in there, in talking about the fans, say, I was always most comfortable on the field. Okay, I'll buy it a little bit, but while that is true in the way that he played the game, and you can never, ever downplay the way that he played the game, and that winning was always the most important thing to him, I don't know that you can truly try to tell me that that's who you were, because if you're trying to sell me on the notion that you just weren't a comfortable person in the spotlight. I mean, you know, it never showed because you were in the spotlight enough. You did do the things to keep your private life private, and that's fine. But what I'm talking about letting you in on is just one or two of those stories from your career. And one of the fans on Twitter pointed out that the story about Hank Aaron that he told, this is from Debbie Leitner. I disagree with you, Chris. His tribute to his parents and his wife were soul-bearing. Also loved the story about Hank Aaron wanting to meet him. And that was in reference to the 99 All-Star game when all the players were surrounding Ted Williams up in Boston. And Hank Aaron tapped him on the shoulder and said, I want to meet you. Okay. That's not showing you what it's like to be Jeter. That's not what I'm talking about. Of course you pay tribute to your parents. We know the role that Jeter's parents have played in his entire life. We've heard that. We know that. Give me something I don't know about one of those just incredible moments in your career. That is not too much to ask for on a day when we are celebrating you. Austin in Jersey City is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Austin, what's up, brother?
Hey, Chris. How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Okay, man. Pretty good. First of all, I'd like to say that I haven't heard the speech yet, but I can still reference the general overview of what this gentleman is about. And there's this big fetish that we have in society for a long time is worshiping people who, quote-unquote, say the right thing. To me, saying the right thing is about, from time to time, sticking your head out, sticking your neck out, and standing up for a cause. I think of Derek Jeter as very much of the Michael Jordan who could hit the curveball. What I mean by that? Michael Jordan was renowned for also being someone who never really stood up for a cause. I'm not saying you have to be a firebrand activist, but there's a long, difference between someone who just goes along to get along and the person of integrity and moral character who will stick their neck out for something that is perhaps sometimes unpopular. And I've never heard that from him. So the fact that he has made this speech, as you say, and I trust that this would happen, where there's no divulgence of any inner core, any inner essence of a person, is because he is such a manicured public relations production. What's curious to me, and I'll just make this final note, I wonder how much of that is something conscious, or is the guy just that vacuous and empty personality that's basically all that he manifests in the world?
Look, I don't think it was an empty personality. I just think it was always so guarded. The wall was always going to be up, right? Even today, the wall is up. But for me, when you're going to try to show the fans how much you appreciate them on a special day like today, and thanks for the call, you have to give them just a little bit of a taste. Those 9/11 games at Yankee Stadium, take me inside what that was, especially this week. Take me inside what that was like. That's not too much to ask. Show me what it meant to be Derek Jeter in that moment. Show me. Tell me. Try to explain it. No, it was generic, thank everybody. One or two moments that really didn't tell you very much. And this is what I understand, that he's doing what he has always done. But you don't have to be that guy on the day you get into the Hall of Fame. You don't. And that's why it always bothered me at the end of the career when you go on the farewell tour and you're getting love from everybody all over the place. And then you go and you do a commercial and you're getting paid a ridiculous amount of money to walk into stands and say, well, you guys never invited me here. Please. Please. That's what ticked me off. And the fact that whenever they had fan meet and greets, it was with Steiner Sports when Brandon Steiner's paying him a fortune. 800-919-3776. And I got nothing against Brandon Steiner. I used to rail against him a little bit on the memorabilia front because of all that kind of crap. But honestly, whatever. This, to me, though, was more about Jeter. We can put that front up of what he wanted to be perceived as. But it would not have killed him to just give you a taste for once. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776.
It's Carlin. Oh, yeah! That's me! On 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, friends, this 98.7 Tennis Update brought to you by Total Orthopedic Spine and Sports Medicine, Long Island's premier orthopedic practice. Total Ortho Express is Long Island's premier orthopedic immediate care. No appointment needed. Time doesn't heal wounds. They do. Alexander Zverev advanced in straight sets over Lloyd Harris in the quarterfinals. Later tonight, 9 o'clock, Novak Djokovic against the 6-seed Italian, Matteo Berrettini. Emma Raducanu, or as Peter would say, Raducanu, knocking off the 11-seed Belinda Bencic. And in the first set, it is Maria Sakkari, the 17th seed, with a 4-3 lead over the 4th seed, Karolina Pliskova. 800-919-3776. Let us hit Jeff in Westchester next on 98.7 ESPN. Jeffrey, what's cooking with you tonight, brother?
Hey, Chris. Yeah, just calling in on Jeter. Hearing some of the comments, get it. It's guarded. You want more from him. Career.
Not even a lot. Just... if he gave me one story, not even a lot, just one.
Yeah, no, makes sense, and I get it. I just, my perspective, yeah, he might have been guarded throughout the career, but, you know, no drama, went out, no scandals, went out every day, played the game, core of the best dynasty, baseball dynasty, certainly in my lifetime. It's his day. I think he does it the way he wants to do it, and we live with it. We're happy with it. He gave to us for how many years, you know?
Yeah, I understand that, but and thanks for the call. But when you talk about saying things like how fans gave so much more to you than you gave to them, we know that's crap when you say that, when you don't give them a little bit of a taste. Just a taste. Just a taste. Joe in Colonia is up next. It's been a few weeks, Joe. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Chris. How you doing? I wanted to talk to you about the Field of Dreams game, but I want to talk about Jeter. To me, Jeter was about Jeter. When I say that, I've been a Yankee fan since the mid-70s. And Derek Jeter was asked to come back for old-timers game. He was like, oh, I'm not old enough to come back. It's not about you. It's about the fans who spent all that money on your jerseys and everything. And another one, too, I'm going to bring up is Jorge Posada. Between Jeter and Jorge, I think they both think they're bigger than the game.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't. See, here's the thing about with Jeter and Posada. I don't think they think they're bigger than the game. I do think that they understand that the game is what brought them to the positions that they're in as these all-time great Yankees. But I do think they could give a little bit more on a day like today. Joe, I'm not even talking about every day. I'm just talking about day when we are honoring you at the Hall of Fame on a Wednesday afternoon, exactly. Brilliant as that is, just a little bit more.
And I agree with you 100%. But you know what? When you were asked to come back for old-timers game, you come back for the fans. If you have a disagreement with the Yankees and the owners or whatever it is, it's not about that. It's about the fans who spent all that money to come watch you and buy your merchandise.
And well, let's be clear, Joe, and I appreciate where you're coming from. Thanks for the call. When it comes to holding a grudge, Jeter's the greatest there ever was at holding a grudge. He is right up there, boy. I mean, it's what he does. And if he has a problem with the Yankees that dates back to when they didn't want to pay him what he thought he was worth. And he went out there and let them have it publicly. You know, you should have been able to put that behind you now. And if your point is, you know, he's not showing up to Old Timers Day because of that kind of a grudge, maybe. But you do need to solve that at some point. And I'm sure that the organization has tried to fix it on numerous occasions, and it hasn't happened for whatever reason. Right? Clearly, Brian Cashman was the guy that was right out in front of that. And he was the one who was the target for Jeter's ire. And you understand why. Nick is in the Bronx, and he is next on 98.7 ESPN. Nick, what's going on tonight, bud? How are you?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. That's our Toronto curveball, change sports to hockey. I'm with the NYPD hockey team, and tomorrow we got that big charity game at the Garden. I just wanted to give a couple minutes to talk about it to get the word out to people.
All right, so I need you to educate me a little bit. It is tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. What time?
All right, the ceremony is going to start about 25 after 7. It's going to be a very emotional 9/11 ceremony.
Sure.
The puck drop should be a little after 8. And the jerseys that both teams are wearing are special 9/11 jerseys. And after the game, they're going to be auctioned off. The money is going to go to that Tunnel Towers thing that you just did the update on.
Yes.
They, you know, we're doing it, putting the money into that because they give to everybody. They give to, you know, service people, cops, firemen, so we're going to put the money into that. But there are tickets still available. They can get them at the Ticketmaster, or you can just get them right at the MSU box office, walk up. It's a very exciting game. This year, with the COVID regulations, you do have to be vaccinated to get in. So it's normally we could sell out this game 2 times over, but with the COVID regulations, there's still a few tickets left. So we just want to see a sellout there. And it's going to be a great game. It's a great cause. I appreciate you just get the word out to all your fans out there. And like to see, like I said, I want to see the building fill for the ceremony and for the game also.
All right. So once again, tickets are available at Ticketmaster and over at the Garden as well.
Correct. Yes. Appreciate
awesome that. Stuff. Listen, Nick, have a great night tomorrow night. And it sounds like it's going to be absolutely awesome.
It is. And I appreciate for everything you do out there. You get everybody, times like this, we need people like you.
Nick, we appreciate what our first responders, what our policemen, what our firefighters do each and every day, putting their lives on the line to protect us, and appreciate you calling in. And again, that's the hockey game at the Garden tomorrow night, and tickets are available at Ticketmaster or at Madison Square Garden. So by all means, go check it out. I have never been able to get to one of those games yet, but that is tomorrow night, so check it out. And as you imagine, it would be a very emotional situation. 800-919-3776. Spike in St. Pete next, 98.7 ESPN. Spike, what's up?
That was a great call, and if I was up there, I've been there twice. It's wonderful. It's just a wonderful outpouring of respect. Wonderful event, especially awesome. An anniversary. Now, with Jeter, look, I agree with you. I do. You know, was today the right occasion? The platform was right there for him. Did I expect anything? Absolutely not. Look, I'd like to be 45, not 75. I could think of a few things you might like, you know, whatever. You pick it. May your dog live forever or whatever you want. You know, sometimes it's just not available. We have to accept it. And, you know, listen, this is a loving person to his family. And that's most important to me. You know, I would have liked a little inside shtick, for the lack of a better word. But I really didn't expect it, Chris. I didn't expect it either
because that's who he is, Spike.
Yeah, no, and you know, so everybody's different. Some people, you know, it's odd. They always say this. I'm sure you're very familiar with what I'm going to say or to preface it, but, you know, sometimes people tell their biggest issues in their life to the to strangers almost, you know? And sometimes guys like this just don't do it. It's not there. I didn't expect it. It would have been nice.
I appreciate it, Spike. Thanks for the call. The problem is just one little glimpse into what it was like to be him would have been cool. 800-919-3776. You're Jeter. You can give it up now. You can give up the persona for 2 minutes during a Hall of Fame speech. The Gerrit Cole problem, Gleyber Torres as well, and why I hate myself regarding the Giants. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN.
I can feel the paradise before my world implodes.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
So if you're wondering about the latest on Gerrit Cole, we can get it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Or I guess the guy who rides the horse, I don't know. Aaron Boone. Here's Aaron Boone with an update on Cole before the game.
Other than he's doing pretty well today, went through some testing and that went well. I know he was getting ready to jump on the treadmill right now. So I think he's encouraged. I don't think we have anything definitive yet. I think the next 24, 48 hours is going to determine where we move and how he responds. But I think he was encouraged by how he felt coming in here and the start of going through some just different treatment things and what he's able to kind of workload wise handle.
Here's the problem. Okay. It doesn't have to do with the long-term situation here. If he's out for the rest of the year, obviously we know that's a problem, even for the regular season, right? You are encouraged by what you hear there from Aaron Boone. There's no getting around that. So we'll see what that means tomorrow. My problem is this. The Yankees are in the middle of a stretch that is 20 straight games. So now you are in this scenario without your ace. Jordan Montgomery's pitched pretty well. You've had other guys who have done a serviceable enough job. Tyone has been up and down, but the Yankees haven't really been able to separate themselves here. We talked about this quite a bit, and I understand how good the first half of the year could have been versus what it actually was. It was a full-on disappointment. And then you come out and you go 35-11, and all is right with the world. But you had to understand that at some point, water was going to seek its level. And that's exactly what's happened. The Yankees were never as good as 35-11. They were never as bad as they played in the first half. And the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Right? Logical. Well, so here they are, playing the Blue Jays, who have pounded them the first couple of games. And it's scoreless right now, but the Blue Jays are threatening. I'll keep you updated there against Luis Gil. And the Blue Jays are two back of the Red Sox in the wild card, and the Red Sox are a half game back of the Yankees. So the Blue Jays are two back in the loss column of the Yankees, and even with the Red Sox in the loss column. So my problem here is, in the middle of this brutal stretch, I don't want to be that guy, but I have to be that guy for a minute. How are you going to navigate your way through this? I mean, you don't get an off day until, let's see, September 23rd. I mean, that's a tough stretch. It's Toronto. It's at the Mets this weekend. Baltimore's in there, which we found out this past week was not any walk in the park. Cleveland, Texas, I mean, you should be able to do some real damage here. But Corey Kluber right now is not giving you more than four innings or so. Tyone, as we said, has been up and down. Heal has been good when he's been given the opportunity, but they've run him back and forth, and he's going to have to stay up at this point. And your best pitcher outside of Gerrit Cole has been Nestor Cortez Jr. I mean, think about this for a second. You would honestly, if you had a wild card game today and Gerrit Cole couldn't go, who do you feel most comfortable with? The answer is Nestor Cortez. Dude, that's loco. I mean, he's done a great job, but that's not good. So I worry about this 20-game stretch. I worry about this bullpen holding up. That you don't have another day off for two more weeks. And you don't have pitchers who are going 7-8 or even 6-7 consistently. So this is where I worry from a Yankee standpoint that when you had the first half that you did, that damage wasn't done enough. You didn't separate yourself enough. You weren't hitting. It's the same problems that still keep really showing themselves. But don't under... Well, you're not going to underestimate it. I was about to say that. You're not going to underestimate it. But over the next 12 to 24 to 36 hours, this is incredibly, incredibly important for the Yankees. If Cole is missing starts, one or two, that could be it. That could honestly be the difference between the Yankees making it and not. And I'm not overstating it when I say that. Now, as I say that, what a job by Luis Gil to get out of a bases-loaded one-out situation. Boys, it was bases-loaded one-out, correct? Yes. Bases-loaded one-out, and Gil got out of it. They're scoreless as they play in the third inning with the Blue Jays. But, look, you have to understand that that's a problem. The fact that they are in this ugly, ugly stretch with no days off gives you no rest for the weary out of that pen, and you have to ask more of your rotation than you have been able to get. I mean, is it fair to say, listen, Nestor, we need 6-7, not 5 1/3. I mean, he's done it before. But we need you to get us to the seventh inning at least. Is that fair for Nestor Cortez? It may not be. I mean, he's done a great job. But we all have to admit it feels like we're on borrowed time, right? Be afraid, my friends. Be very afraid. 800-919-3776. Oh, buckle up, because we going to do it.
Richard in Manhattan. You are up next, Ricardo.
Chris, you know, Mariano and Jeter getting into the Hall of Fame. I was just thinking, those are the first two homegrown Yankees since you know who to make the Hall of Fame. In other words, Yankees God. That went through their system.
First two homegrown
Hall of Famers.
Oh, man.
Whitey and Mickey.
Yeah, I was going to say Mickey because of...
Whitey and Mickey.
You know
because,
if you look at obviously, it... Listen, Mattingly could still get in on that veteran side.
Anyone. Yeah, Mattingly, Munson, Pettit.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of guys. And, you know, when you think about it, the Mets, in their 60-year existence, during those 60 years, produced just as many homegrown Hall of Famers as the Yankees. So the Yankees produced Mariano and Jeter, and the Mets produced Seaver and Nolan Ryan. Right?
You know,
there were no other Yankees.
Yeah, listen. I get it. I mean, I don't really know what the difference is with Jeter getting in, and I get it. Homegrown, okay, that's something. But
yeah. That's
I mean, I wasn't really thinking about it, Richard.
No, just a little different attitude. Chris, can you do me a favor? You have access to all this. And maybe one day when I call again, you can let me know or you'll say it on the air. When was the last time a Major League Baseball team playing 9 innings did not strike out at all? I mean, if you were to guess, would you say it's been 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
Oh, God, I don't know. I have no idea. I'll tell you what.
It's certainly not in the last 3 or 4 years, that's for
Richard,
sure.
I will ask just for you. I will
I
ask
one more
the
for you,
ESPN
Chris.
Department of Statistics to go ahead and handle that for you. Get that
All
request
right,
for you.
All right, we'll I got one
see.
More for you, Chris. I was
Please,
just thinking, I've been watching a lot of
because I'm already asking other people to do work for you, so go ahead.
All right, I've been watching a lot of tennis lately. And, you know, we're into this equality, women's pay, men's pay, everyone's equal and all. Why do the men play a best of five in the majors and the women play a best of three?
I think that just has to do with the physical construct of the body and the physical how do I put that? Construct of the body is not the right way to put it. Just from an athletic endurance standpoint, you know. I mean,
so you're saying you don't think the women can handle best of five?
Huh?
You're saying that the women are not capable of handling best of five matches?
No, Richard, you asked me the question as to why it happened, why they do it. This is why they do it. I'm not saying they're not capable. I don't know enough about tennis to know whether they're capable or not. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
I don't want to get into this whole thing about why one is not equal to the other. That's silly, okay? It's the same thing if you played men in the WNBA and women's basketball. I mean, it would be a massive advantage because just biology, physically, men are built, men athletes are built more physically dominant, I guess you would say. I have no interest in talking about, you know what, for that, like, I'm now not sending in that request for Richard. How about that? I love him, but sometimes he just ticks me off to no end. I need to cleanse the palate. 800-919-3776. Lines are open. Why Jeter really disappointed me with his speech. We'll also get into Gleyber Torres here in a bit. And we will also discuss the Giants and why my initial feelings this year of them being able to go and have a dominant, well, not dominant, but have a good year and win the division actually gives them a chance to make me feel worse about myself. Honestly, Richard threw me off right there. I'm completely off my game in this moment. In this world of women's lib and equality, I mean, he goes there every once in a while and it's just, and then he turns it around on me. Are you saying they are not capable? Like, what am I getting cross-examined here? Just please, please. Carla, 98.7 ESPN, my friends. Pray for me, will you? Pray for me.
It's Carlin.
It's your boy.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Running all red lights. Pull up to the club just to get the hair right.
To make Richard happy, I have gone through reading some stuff during the break about the debate of playing best of three versus best of five. And to be truthful, there is a lot to be discussed about whether the men should now be playing best of three or the women should be playing best of five to make it equal, because every argument that I have seen so far, and I always assumed that it was just about the physicality aspect of it and just the endurance aspect of it, way back when the rules were made, and I'm sure that probably was part of it, but now everybody's using the phrase tradition, the word tradition, and that's why it's being termed now more of a sexist thing. So, you know what, Richard? Maybe it'll happen, and frankly, it should happen one way or the other. I know Novak Djokovic, just in reading about this, said that he wants it to go to best of three because you're seeing just the physical beatings that it's having the effect on players. Anyway. I just, there are some nights, Richard, if you know, sometimes you let him take the wheel, and then sometimes he's sitting in the passenger seat, and he grabs the wheel and steers you right into the median, and maybe through it into oncoming traffic. We did not need that tonight, Richard. 800-919-3776. Let us continue on the phones. Here's Patrick in the Bronx next on 98.7 ESPN. Patrick, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Carlin?
How are you, bud?
Not bad. So I know the Jeter thing, I'm a Yankee fan from the Bronx, all that, but you got me thinking about the Hall of Fame in general. And then I look at the class this week, and big guy that sticks out to me, Larry Walker. I remember him growing up being a great player in the Rockies in the 90s, early 2000s. I don't get why someone like that is in the Hall of Fame, and then there's a guy like Curt Schilling, who I don't like personally. He seems like a jerk. He murdered my Yankees. Why is Curt Schilling not in the Hall of Fame, and then Larry Walker is in it? And then I started thinking again. I looked at the stats. Bernie Williams has pretty similar stats to Larry Walker. You know, he made 5 All-Star games. He had 2,000 hits. He almost had 300 home runs. He won 4 World Series. Like, so I don't know. I just don't get why. I know people can't stand Curt Schilling, but I don't get why he's not in the Hall of Fame.
I wish that I could disagree with you, and I think it has everything to do with his political stances and the way he's handled himself
in
some circumstances.
But I don't
and that doesn't make it right. That obviously is not right. It shouldn't have anything to do with it. But as far as his on-field performance, Curt Schilling was a dominant pitcher for a long time and a clutch pitcher on a couple of world championship teams.
I was going to say clutch. Yeah. And I mean, it's
and
like,
listen, I don't like him personally either.
O.J. Simpson. In the NFL.
Let's not go to O.J., okay? It's a little different when you murder somebody or 2 people, allegedly, and between that and Curt Schilling saying stupid things, okay? Yeah. It's a lot different. Thanks for the call. I get the Schilling argument. It shouldn't have anything to do with his politics or any of that. Of course not. And I believe that it does. I absolutely believe that it does. But if you want to talk about Bernie Williams and Larry Walker, all right. Just to give you an idea on Larry Walker, a .313 career hitter, .965 career OPS for Larry Walker, had 5 years with an OPS over 1, has 3 batting titles, has 1 MVP, 1,310 RBI, 1,311, 383 homers. All right? Those numbers are Hall of Fame worthy. Bernie Williams, .297 career average, so 16 points less, 100 points less in OPS at .858 for his career. 287 homers, 1,257 runs batted in. Bernie never won an MVP. Highest he got was 1998. He finished 7th. Hit .339 that year to win his only batting title. He did hit .342 the next season. The really, really good heart of the Bernie Williams career was from 96 through 2002, every year OPS over 900. But I would not put Bernie Williams in the Hall of Fame, comparatively speaking, to Larry Walker. Also had 4 gold gloves. Larry Walker had 6 gold gloves. Actually, maybe 7. 7 gold gloves. Yeah, I'm sorry. Bernie's not going. Bernie's got the championships. Larry Walker, and I know it's Colorado, guys. I know. I get it. Those are still some ridiculous numbers that he put up. Monty in Woodbridge is next on 98.7 ESPN. Monty, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Carlos?
Oh, Monty!
What's going on?
What do you got?
I just wanted to comment about Jeter. You know, to be honest with you, I mean, how I see Jeter, he's an introvert. And, you know, people want more from Jeter than really what he can give. You know, personally, you know, I have a first cousin, that played in the NFL for about 9 years. And he's one of my most quietest cousins ever. You know, now he was focused to get to that next level. And he did it successfully. But, you know, you're not going to get, you know, hey, the night before game three, we were at the, you know, something that you might hear from Charles Barkley, because Jeter doesn't have those stories. You know, if Jeter was
No. I'm not talking about Barkley-type. I'm not even talking about Barkley-type fun stories. I'm just talking about the moments. Sharing what that was like behind the scenes when you get a chance to live in incredible moments of baseball history. I'm going to give you an example, and it's only out of a storytelling example, okay? It is not comparing one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeter is obviously nowhere the storyteller that this guy is, but he could do it his own way. Bob Costas, in his Hall of Fame speech, told an amazing behind-the-scenes story about Kirk Gibson's home run in the 88 World Series, Game 1. What I want to know from Jeter is, take me inside that moment of the 9-11 game when the president's out on the mound, of that whole series of what it was like, especially this week. Take me inside what it was like to be on one of the greatest teams of all time, the 1998 Yankees. Give me something. Give me something about that last walk-off hit. Something. It's not about being an introvert. It's about in this moment. I don't care what he was in his career at this point, okay? The fact that he was guarded in his career was more than his right, and that's fine. But for me, this is more about just on a day when everybody is celebrating you, that you give us a little bit of a taste of what you're about. That's
but see, Colin, that's what I'm saying, though, because some of those guys like that have an extreme amount of focus that, you know, every game is the same for them. They don't, they're not looking at the stage, you know, they don't have these special feelings and stories. They go about their job, they just do. Like my son, he's in AAU, he has a good friend. And this guy is like, you know, he's just like, he's so focused, and he has no personality. It's like you don't know if he likes you or if he doesn't like you, because he's the same way every day. He's focused on his craft, and that's how he looks at it. And I think that's a lot what Jeter is. I think that he doesn't have that moment. The fact that he's so good is his ability to just stay focused and do the same thing in day in and day out, and that's not an act. That's actually how his brain works. One, I don't think that one day is any different from any other day, to be honest with you.
Listen, I get it. I don't think that was all of it, though, with him. Thanks for the call. I always think there was a very purposeful wall that he put up, that he didn't want to let people behind the curtain. That's fine. That's fine. Even if you're an introvert, though, even if you're the guy that you're talking about, Monty, that is so focused on his craft, that's fine. The farewell tour capped off by, and I don't mind you going on a tour, that's fine, but capped off by the actual monetization of it by doing commercials. Oh, let me get out of the car. Let me go into stands and hang out. Jeter couldn't have gotten out of that place fast enough and gotten to the shower at Yankee Stadium in that old Gatorade commercial. That's what I'm talking about. So in this instance, right here, I want to know for a moment what it was like to be Derek Jeter. And all the Yankee fans who made that trip to Cooperstown today got, all they got was a list of thank yous. That's what's annoying to me.
It's Carlin.
I'm going to complain about judging a quarterback. That was my wife texting me.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.